Hello, good evening, and welcome to Seascapes. On tonight's programme, we speak to RNLI volunteers across the country about frontline services at sea during the COVID crisis and the story of one of the world's most notorious battleships. The RNLI have continued their rescue work during the COVID crisis and they've been out on calls. But the ongoing training for crews has proven to be a bit more problematic. Lorna Siggins has been speaking to lifeboat crews throughout the country and she has this report.
Early last month, RNLI Chief Executive Mark Dowie confirmed that he was taking a 50% pay cut and putting 30% of staff on temporary leave. But full-time mechanics and coxswains employed at all-weather stations along with voluntary crew would still be available for call-out during this pandemic. After all, fishing vessels have to go to sea. And although the Irish Coast Guard and RNLI have asked people to stay off the water, there have been call-outs to assist leisure craft and coastal walkers. I touched base for Seascapes with four stations around the coast, Arran, Achill, Wicklow and Dunleary. Dr. Marion Broderick, who is both a launching authority and medical advisor for the Arran lifeboat and has been out on many a dark windy night in a curragh and lifeboat over the past four decades, explained how the islands had voted for a lockdown before the rest of the state and how the station is managing now.
This is a 24/7 voluntary service and calls can come in any time, and our crew are usually going about their day jobs when they get a call. The main difference now is that they turn up to the station and maintain distancing outside and wait to be selected for the call instead of all piling into the station like you might see in the TV programmes. Another difference is they're no longer doing any training exercises, only call-outs. And this has an impact on the Coast Guard as well because they usually train with the lifeboat. However, the exercises might have stopped, but it will be business as usual for the calls. And we have had some medevacs since we went into lockdown 8 weeks ago, just ahead of the rest of the country. Actually, probably less than we would usually have at this time of the year, as there's no tourism and no recreational traffic.
I'm Noreen Lanine Curtis. I'm a GP in Achill for almost 20 years now, and I'm the lifeboat medical advisor for the RNLI here in Achill. Well, we're not going out as easily and quickly as we were before. Obviously, we have to take precautions for going out to any patients. PPE has to be worn and strict social distancing has to be maintained. But the service is still there and we're still available. And we provide the lifeboat crew with updates on all the new guidelines as they come down to us. Yeah, there's a lot of extra pieces of work at the minute with COVID. So we just adapt and keep going.
Dr. Lynine Curtis's husband and Achill coxswain Dave Curtis told me that the lifeboat had also several call-outs.
Yeah, we've had two shouts since the restrictions came in. On the 25th of April, we had a call-out to three jet skiers in difficulty in the inner Clew Bay area. So the lifeboat and Westport Coast Guard were tasked to assist. The three casualties were actually towed in by a local vessel and they were towed into Rossmoney. Then we had another one following on from that on the 27th of April, and that was a call to assist Rescue 118, the Sligo-based Coast Guard helicopter, and that was and also the island nurse, and that was with a medical evacuation of obviously a non-COVID-19 patient who required immediate hospital care. We would normally be, you know, involved in fundraising, open day visits, you know, our fundraisers would be out there doing church gate collections, street collections. We would have monthly meetings, crew assessments and crew training and exercises. All of that has stopped at the moment, but yet we're still there to respond to any emergencies that occur. Obviously, at the moment, there's no face-to-face training, but there is still online training courses for the crew. And we also have our online meetings with the area life-saving managers. You know, the shouts also, they would be classed as exercise as well, because we would do little bits of extra activities on those shouts. We're finding new ways of operating. We're finding new ways of working around these things. Yeah, and trying to keep the morale up as well.
Like the other stations, Dunleary, with its all-weather and inshore lifeboats, has had to quickly develop new standard operating procedures, as coxswain Mark McGibney told me.
So currently what we're doing is that once the call comes in, all the volunteers get in the cars, go down to the station. They stay in their cars, which is a new thing to everybody, where the lifeboat operations manager, Stephen Wynn, myself, and the station mechanic, Kieran O'Connell, will meet in the very large car park that we thankfully have in the station and discuss the particular call we're going to, decide which the best boat to use is, whether it be ALB, the offshore, or the inshore, preferring the offshore if we can, because of the larger vessel, we can keep a bigger distance between the crew on the deck. We select the crew by pointing at the particular car. The minimum requirement in the ILB is 3, the inshore lifeboat, and the minimum requirement is in the ALB is 5, but can take 7. We take the minimum. And the other thing, as you mentioned, very important, is that we have 5 coxswains who are currently qualified to take that boat to sea, and we have 4 mechanics who are currently trained up to be able to run the engines. But what we're avoiding to at all costs is to put, say, 3 coxswains and 2 mechanics on any particular call, because if one person was to be suspected of having the COVID-19, that puts those 5 people immediately into a 14-day isolation, which obviously then puts the pressure on the other team members for their availability. So every call we go on, we restrict it to 1 coxswain, 1 mechanic, and in the ILB, 1 helmsman. We have had a few call-outs in the last 4 weeks, mainly with people walking along the beaches in Dublin Bay. Sandy Mount Strand has been a well-known area that people get cut off from the tide. It's very shallow, and there are little riverlets coming down into that area from the land that fills in from behind. And quite often you see people getting caught out on little sandbanks out on the bar. And their only extraction is by sea or by air with the Coast Guard helicopter. So we've had a few incidents of that already, 4 in total. Obviously, yeah, I'm on call, as all the rest of the crew, the 26 or 27 of us are, 24/7, 365. Day jobs obviously come into it as well. So I work in one of the yacht clubs in Dunleary, and I'm spending quite a lot of time at the moment doing health and safety documents, standard operation procedures, signage, and all that kind of stuff to get our members back out on the water sailing. And then with my other hat on, the RNLI, I have to be very, very conscious of the risk that is there to myself and our other fellow crew members. So it's a tightrope, yes, that's definitely one way of describing it. As a seagoing or a rescue service, as a charity, all we can do is advise to the best of our ability what safe boating is, what safe sailing is, and how to be safe along the coastline. We're not a policing service per se. We'll do our best to advise people of how best and safe to use the water.
Fear of skill slippage has been a concern around the coast. But in Wicklow, one of the crew developed YouTube videos on various aspects of training with its new Shannon-class lifeboat. Wicklow mechanic Brendan Copeland said these have been very successful and have had the added advantage of retaining the interest of younger volunteers who haven't been able to go out on the water. He also told me that Wicklow has had several shouts.
Yes, we have indeed, Lorna. We had 2 call-outs, one to a trawler, fishing trawler, approximately 9.5 miles northeast of Wicklow. It was in reasonably good weather, but the lads had broken down. It was getting dark, and the lads were out fishing, and unfortunately broke down, so we responded to that call. At the start, when this first came in, of course, nobody knew too much about it, but immediately we started to put things in place, full PPE, as we were anyway, but then we added stuff to it, like masks, gloves, and so on. Hand sanitizer, of course, became a big thing. The RNLI came on very quickly with guidance as to what to do to protect yourselves. We had a chat with the crew, and of course it kind of happened so fast that we had to shut down more or less immediately any training we were doing. We're here training every week, every Wednesday, and we've a huge amount of volunteers that come down, and from young people to the older people and the guys that have been here a while. So it was very awkward at the start to try and tell people, listen, we're heading into something. And then the usual question started, well, how do we protect our crews when we go out? And it was a huge kind of a sit-in and think tank to try and figure out what's the best way to protect. We sought advice, the RNLI sought advice from different agencies to see what we could do. With the best intentions in the world, we got all our PPE together. Hand sanitizer was there within 2 days. Masks were there the first day of the lockdown, and we had to decide then from our headquarters in Dublin, what was the next step? What do we do if in the case of a shout? So, in fairness, all the directions came back as best we could. And then we just sat down and asked the crew, okay, what are your feelings on it? And I have to say, not one out of 35 that we have here, not one backed off. And we've got people from all over, all walks of life. Plumbers, electricians, roofers, Tesco workers, doctors, and there was no bother with them. But it was heartwarming to see the amount of people that showed up to the first shout. We had 24 out of 35 crew, which was fantastic to show up. A magnificent turnout. When you get on board, it's quite difficult. We can no longer use certain equipment for communications. We have to isolate ourselves from that and use more voice than we do with intercom. The boat we have is quite modern. She's the most modern in the fleet. It's called a Shannon class, named after the Shannon River in Ireland. But whereas before we'd be shouting at each other over the engines, with this, it's an intercom system. So we've had to stop using that because it's so close to your mouth and because we have to sanitize everything afterwards and leave the boat in immaculate condition for the next people coming on. And we have hand wipes on board, we've hand sanitizer, we've face masks, we've gloves, all these things we never had to use before. And it's quite different. But I just couldn't believe the selflessness of the crew. And as I say, I've been with them 30 years and we volunteer, they all volunteer for nothing. To show up during all of this was something else, and to work with them is a pleasure.
Lorna Siggins with the RNLI.